All of us are in a bit of a phase in terms of transitioning because we are trying to adapt to life of not going to church in particular, and also life that has been adjusted so drastically for us in terms of our jobs and our businesses, and many of us that have been affected by this. And in hindsight, when you look at all that has happened, we have to ask ourselves, what is God really doing? What is God really saying to us? What is God shaping in our lives? Because we are a people that need to keep perspective of God's sovereign rule in every circumstance. Also, what was the role of the church, and what is the role of the church to prepare you for crises like these, for times like this? How have you been adequately prepared, or have you been adequately prepared to handle the kind of crisis? Because none of us were prepared for this in terms of the way it came upon us and how suddenly we had to adjust life and make the changes that we have made. So the question that we need to ask this morning is, what is the transition that God is requiring of us? And this is what I want to just present to you very briefly today, and also look at what we really need to do. Now, many of you are familiar with our teachings on sonship, and we all are convinced, we are aware, we know in our spirit that we are the sons of God. And when we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, we have been declared the children of God. Now, that is not in question. That is your right. That is your inheritance. You are heir of the promise. And according to the book of Galatians, chapter 3, you are the sons of God. So, John chapter 1, verse number 12 to 14 will tell you that. And several other verses confirm that when we receive Jesus Christ, we are the sons of God. But we enter the kingdom as children, and we have to grow up into coming to understand what it means to be the son of God. So to do that, God places you in a family, which is commonly referred to in the scriptures as a household of faith, or what all of us commonly know as a church. So part of church, part of the duty of church, part of the responsibility of church is to help you to mature into functioning as a son of God. So when you enter a local church, which we call a household, where there's a father and where we become part of a spiritual family, we are there to learn how to grow and how to mature into functioning as sons of the kingdom or sons of God. The Bible uses other terms like sons of the day, sons of the light, etc. So part of church is to develop you to function as a son of God. Now, many of us are used to being sons of the household or sons of the local church because we are involved in the local church in some way or the other. We attend church regularly. And so when we go to church, we know what duties we need to carry out. And so part of our Christian walk is being in church and being part of a spiritual family, and also developing and growing within that family. But suddenly, that aspect of your life, which is a big part of your life, because your Wednesday is dedicated to that, your Saturday is dedicated to that, your Sunday is dedicated to that, suddenly God has sort of removed that, where you can't gather as a local church, you can't see other people in the family. You can't see your pastor and interact with him, and so forth. So that aspect of life suddenly was taken away from you. So what is God really doing? God wants the sons of the kingdom to rise up. He wants the sons of God to rise up. So part of the household was just to equip you and train you to now transition into living, functioning, speaking, acting, doing what the sons of the kingdom should be doing. So this is the transition. a transition that you must get used to, because now you are on your own. You are with your family, you are with your spouse, you're with your children. And as you are on your own, all the things that you have learned over the years in church now has to manifest. There's no music team. There's no one to welcome you at the door. There's no early morning devotion. There's no communion together. And all the things that we are used to in terms of the liturgy of church has been removed. But what is God wanting for us now? He wants the sons of God to manifest on the earth. Now, you need to know that your predestination, your election, what God has chosen you for, is to reveal the image and the likeness of God. So I'm going to give you a text. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 8. All of us are familiar with the text. It's in verse 29 and verse 30, and I'll read it. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. Now, that verse is about five sessions, because there's five aspects. Firstly, God has foreknowledge, or he foreknew. Secondly, he has predestined you. Thirdly, there's a calling. You are justified and you are glorified. But the one thing I just want to focus on is that you are predestined. You are elected or chosen to be conformed to the image of his son. So all of us need to know that when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, that part of that process, part of that formation, that development, is that you will be formed into the image and the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ, who is the perfect man. So that likeness and that formation is what starts to manifest when we go through some of the things that we are facing right now. And having had personal interaction with several of you that are on this call this morning, I know that the trials that some of you are facing, you've never faced in your life before. You've never been on this road before. But don't allow this temptation, this trial, this suffering to make you depressed. Don't let it cause you to question God. Don't let it cause you to go into unbelief. Don't let it cause you to question leadership. But let it allow it to develop the Son of God, the image of God inside of you. And that's what we need to see. We need now to see the true nature of Jesus Christ beginning to rise up inside of us, because God has quarantined you. He has put you into isolation. You are not in the normal environment that we are all used to. He has taken you out of that because he wants the sons of God to rise up. So, here's what I want to deal with this morning, because this can be an extremely long session, and I don't want to spend too much of time on it. I basically want to speak about what is our kingdom sonship and how does it begin to manifest? What do we need to do to see it manifest and become a reality? Now, the first thing we need to know is there is a priority in the mind of the Son of God. You can write that down. There is a priority in the mind of the Son of God. And you need to know what is that priority. What is the foremost thought on your mind as God's son? Because that's not in question. You are the Son of God. But we need to see it being revealed. We need to see it being manifested. So what is that priority? And this is the priority. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a verse that we all know, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The previous verse talks to you about what are those things, and the verse tells you that you must not seek what the Gentiles seek, which is clothing, which is food, which is drink. And all of us know that all those things that we normally spend our time looking for, spend our time doing, has been sort of removed or isolated or stopped. And you've been given time now to prioritize in terms of seeking first the kingdom of God. So you can't stroll in Gateway to go and look at all the sales. You can't decide to just go and have a coffee and breakfast in Mug and Bean. You can't decide, I'm just going to go to the beach and take a stroll, and then I'll just stop at one of the cafes, and I'll eat and I'll drink. So do you know what the Gentiles normally do has just stopped? Eating, drinking, clothing, what you wear, what you drink, what you eat, these are the things we are normally consumed with. On a Saturday morning, immediately after prayer, the first question I get asked is, where are we going for breakfast today? All that is on hold. What the Gentiles do has just stopped. There's no deciding that because I don't like the outfit that I have, I can just go to the shop and decide to buy another outfit or buy another shoe. What the Gentiles seek is just put on hold. So what is God saying to you? What is he asking you to do as a son of God where everything is put on hold? He's saying simply to you, seek first the kingdom of God. Make it a priority. Make the kingdom of God your foremost thought. Make the kingdom of God something that you are thinking about all the time, because we need to see the sons of the kingdom rise up in the midst of a crisis. Now, we did a whole series on priorities, as you know, some time ago. You can go and revisit that, several priorities that we covered. But when we say seek first the kingdom of God, that means the kingdom son prioritizes the kingdom of God. And this is what it means. When he says seek, that means he endeavors or earnestly desires or strives to see the rule of God, the power and the authority of God being established in any and every environment. Let me repeat that. When we say you're seeking first the kingdom of God, this is what you are doing. You are endeavoring, you are earnestly desiring, you are striving for the rule, the authority, the power of God to be established in any environment. Okay? So the kingdom of God is within us, and it needs to be expressed through our lives. So when it says seek first, first is the principle or the beginning of things. It is the proton of things. It is something that must be done immediately, and it is reflected in our lifestyle. That when I say seek first, I am endeavoring, I am earnestly desiring, I want to strive to see the rule, the authority and power of God being established as the main thing in my life and in my environment. So, what will the Son of God do first in every circumstance? And I'm asking you now, in the epidemic that we are facing, what will you do first? You've had 5 months to think about this. What will you do first in this kind of crisis? You know, in every crisis, they have what is called the first responder. And when the first responder gets to a scene that is very critical, there are some basic things that they have to do because they are first responders. Now, in our circumstances that we are in as the sons of God, what do we need to do first? And so today I just want to handle just one thing and give you a foundation for something else that I will share later on. You see, if you want to know what to do first, you must always go to the beginning. The beginning will always tell you what to do first. So if I'm saying I'm going to seek first, I'm endeavoring, I am earnestly desiring, I am striving for the rule and the power and the authority of God, I'm going to do this first. This is my main agenda. I'm going to be the first responder in wanting the kingdom of God to be established, because the things that I'm normally used to doing have stopped. Because God is saying, prioritize, reset, reorientate yourself. Because now we are facing crises all over the world. I won't get into ideologies and movements that we all hear about all the time. We'll leave that for another day. But all of that is determining movements all over the earth. So what are you going to respond with as the Son of God? Because you can just become part of that ideology without even knowing it. So let's go to the first. And the first is in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. Because if I want to know what the beginning is, I need to go there and find out, as the sons of God, what must I do first? So here's what happens. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you are the sons of God. You are the offspring of God. You carry the DNA of God, which is the spirit inside of you. God is spirit, and his spirit comes and lives in you. So here's what God does. That means here's what the offspring of God would do. In the beginning, the word beginning is the Hebrew word R-E-S-I-Y-T. It is receipt, and it means the first in place, first in time, first in rank. And it means the chief of things. It means the principal thing. It also means the first fruit. So here's what the Son of God does first. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now you might say to me, Pastor, that's a very big task. You're asking me to create the heavens and the earth. I can't do that. Now, here's what you need to understand. What is the heavens and the earth? The heavens and the earth in our language is very simple. The heavens and the earth is the environment. Just tell your neighbor environment. So here's what your priority must be. Here's what you must be focused on. In the first, I'm seeking first to create the right environment. You see, for the animal kingdom to exist, for the bird kingdom to exist, for the flora, the plant, the fauna to exist and to flourish, it needs an environment. So for something to reach its full potential, its fruitfulness, its productivity, it has to be in what we will call the right habitat or the right environment. So God, in the first part of our lockdown for 5 weeks, put you in an environment. It was you and your family locked up in the house with your dog. And while you were there locked up in your house, God was trying to tell you, your wife doesn't have to go to work now. The husband doesn't have to go to work. Your children are not with any keeper. That means they're not in the creche. They're not in school. They're all at home. You're not working night shift. You're not coming late. You are at home. Basically, God was showing to you, this is the environment that I had always had in my heart for the family. I didn't want husbands and wives to be working different hours so that they can't even see each other in the evening. I didn't want children to come from different environments, coming home with all different kinds of ideas. I quarantined you for a period of time to show you that there is an environment that must be first established. This is how God speaks. This is the way he wants to tell us. Now, we have been preaching this for years. For many years, we have been preaching this. So I was not taken aback when all of this happened, because the Lord has quarantined us to show us you need to create your own heaven and earth. And we know that the sun, the moon, and the stars represent the family. This is what Jacob told Joseph when Joseph said to him, your sun, moon, and the stars were bowing down to me. He said, Are you saying that me and your mother and your brothers are going to bow down to you? Basically, the sun, moon, and the stars is a picture of light, and it's a picture of the family that is set in the heavens. So, listen to me carefully. God wants you to seek first the creation of the right environment in your home. And he's given you the time to do that, to build a strong marriage, to build a relationship with your children, to spend time eating together, watching a movie together, doing a puzzle together, playing a game together, studying together. Many things that we all had to do together. Now, if you didn't have the mind of a son of God, which is a seek first principle where you're endeavoring to see the rule of God coming into your home, do you know your home would have been in chaos? It will be the place where there's slamming of doors, shouting, screaming, disagreements, all kinds of things that would have happened. But if we are sons of God, and now we are in a place where God is sort of squeezing us through pressure to form that Son of God inside of us. You can't dial 083-288-8810. For those of you that don't know, that's my cell number. You have to discover how do we solve this problem? Because we have to create the right environment. We have to try and get through this. So you need to understand that God wants you to have the right environment. This is what we do first. In the beginning, we create the heavens and the earth. So take time now to craft that environment. Be an environment builder. Be a habitat builder. Everything has to grow in the right habitat. You cannot take the fish and put it on the land. It will not grow. You cannot take the tree out of the ground and expect it to grow. Its roots has to be in the ground for it to grow. You cannot take animals out of the wildlife environment and decide to put them in an urban environment. It's detrimental to their growth. In Psalms 102, verse 6 to 7, the Bible says, I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. This is the psalmist describing his condition. Now, the pelican is not meant to be in the wilderness. It's meant to be by the seaside or by a lake. The owl is not meant to be in the desert. The owl is meant to be in a forest. The sparrow is not meant to be alone. It is always meant to be with a flock of birds. It is meant to be with other sparrows. So the description that the psalmist is giving us is telling us that in my condition, I feel like I'm not in the right habitat. I am in a different environment altogether. So some of us have not been used to what you are experiencing now. Therefore, you are getting frustrated. You are getting impatient. You are getting impulsive. You can't handle it because you're not used to be. Now, have some sympathy for me. Can you imagine? I'm on a plane every month. I'm in a different country every month, sometimes two or three countries in different months. Sometimes different places, three, four times in a week. And here I am quarantined in my house with four ladies. And I have to sit here 5 months, not moving, just paralyzed. Don't you think we should have a special prayer meeting for that? Now, what is God teaching us? Now, by the way, I like to be at home. I can enjoy it. I don't like the malls. I don't enjoy going out to eat. I've stayed in some of the best hotels all over the world. That's not my thing. I love my house. You can give me butter bread and peanut butter. I'm okay. It doesn't really affect me too much. But many of us, our tolerance levels are waning at the moment. We can't handle it. We just feel like we want to break out. But God is speaking to you. Listen to the voice of God. Okay? Craft that environment. Build that environment for your children and for yourself and for your spouse. Build it. Create your own heaven and earth right where you are. Make that environment something that is going to be reflective of the kingdom of God. This is what you need to seek. This is what you must endeavor to seek first to establish the right environment. Sons of God are masters at crafting habitats. They know how to create the right environment. Now, Adam was put into an environment. This environment that he was put into was called the Garden of Eden. In this garden, in the midst of this garden, was the tree of life. There were four rivers there. There was also the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even in that environment. The four rivers all speak of breakthrough, they speak of growth, they speak of speed. I'm not going to go through the meanings of the rivers, but they were a source of life for the entire garden because all the trees were dependent on those rivers. The tree of life we all know is Jesus Christ himself, and he was in the middle, the tree was in the middle of the garden, it was in the midst of the garden. So, in your environment that you are crafting, the tree of life must be the central point of the garden, must be the reference point. Also, you need to have four rivers. And four rivers metaphorically refer to the culture that we have been teaching you, which is called doctrine, fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer, that you must have in your environment every day. That means every day in your family, as all of us are celebrating, I'm saying all of us, but I'm hoping that we are celebrating the table of the Lord, we are discussing the weekly teaching, we are praying. And we are breaking bread together. This is the four rivers that will supply strength, that will bring grace into your family, that will cause the trees to flourish and to grow. But you also know how to create an environment where we are not distracted by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil comes to you in many forms. It's called News 24. It's called Facebook. It's called Instagram. It's called TLC. You'll know what TLC is. TLC is a channel on DSTV. It's a reality TV. So you got to know how the tree of the knowledge of evil is in your garden. And you have to know how to build a fence around it. So that you don't get distracted by the tree of knowledge and good and evil and forget that there is a tree of life in the garden. Because you can spend most times focusing on the tree of knowledge because its voice is always telling you if you are the son of God. Did God really say? And right now, some of us that are facing such difficult times, you can be asking yourself those questions and you will lean towards the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when the Lord is clearly telling you, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. So oftentimes we can get tempted by, as Eve was, by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you have to know in your environment how to make sure that you're not getting distracted. That's why you should be asking yourself, how much of time are you spending on your cell phone? How much of time are you spending just reading the news and getting upset, frustrated, and all kinds of things that are happening to you? So focus on the tree of life. Focus on the four rivers in your environment. If it's not there, start building it in. Start seeking first to craft that environment where the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is there. Now, you see, whenever there's a right environment, there will always be a result. There will always be a result. Like I said, the tree will always bear fruit as long as it's in the ground and it gets the rain. The sea creatures will always be fruitful if it is in the right habitat. All the activism that you see with regards to environmental affairs is because animals, trees, etc., the environment or the habitat is being affected. Therefore, they are being destroyed and they cannot function and grow. More so for us as the sons of God. Now, why did the glory of God fill the temple of Solomon? Because he crafted an environment. You can read that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 5 to 11. Time will not permit me to read it. But you will see that in that environment, there was worship, there was sacrifice, there was wisdom, there was prayer. And after everything was set, everything was put in order, after the environment was crafted, the glory of the Lord came in and filled the temple. When you craft the right environment, there will be specific results. So if you want to see the glory of God, which is the weight of God, come into the homes of our families, you have to craft the right environment. In Mark chapter 6, verse 38 to 42, you will read of how Jesus multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Now, this was very little, 5 loaves and 2 fish. But we saw a multiplication of it where the entire crowd that was there was fed. Why did it happen? It happened because of the right environment. What was the right environment? He said, no, I want you to take the people and make them sit in ranks of 50 and 100. That means there was an order, there was an arrangement, there was an environment created, and then multiplication took place. So if you craft the right environment, that's what will happen. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead because of the right environment. When Jesus came in there, the first thing he did is he told all the people that are mourning and crying and weeping, please leave the room. And then he took in the right people into the room. He only took Peter, James, and John. And he took Jairus and his wife into the room, and the girl was raised because the environment was cleared of negativity. It was cleared of people that were mourning and weeping, and it was filled with people of faith. It was filled with people that believed, like Peter, James, and John, and the parents. And we saw Jairus' faith because when he heard that his daughter had died, he stayed with Jesus. He didn't run home. He was still there with Jesus. Dr. Segi just shared a very powerful message yesterday, which I will share next week, Sunday, with you. As you know, we are following the series on answered prayer. And he shared this point. He said, Jairus' faith was shown in that when he heard that his daughter died, he did not leave Jesus. He stayed with Jesus. You're going to hear of many things in your life that's going to affect you. I'm saying to you, stay with Jesus. Because if you stay with him, the environment will change. Things will become different. Okay? Now, I want to introduce something to you and then begin to prepare us for the next message. There was something which was called a chamber or an upper room. It was called the chamber or the upper room. Just give me 1 minute, Elizabeth. Just go and bring my charger. The chamber or the upper room. Now, in the chamber or the upper room, it was a very special room, and many of us have read of scriptures of the upper room. In Hebrew, it was called the Aliyah. Not Eliyah, Aliyah, right? And it was called the Aliyah because it was a chamber, it was a special room. And in this room, several things were took place throughout the scriptures. Now, this room was also, it had a stairway, or it had an ascent, or it had a place where you would actually go up. So it was a guest room. It was a place where guests would come and stay. And you know that there are many examples of upper rooms that were built throughout the scriptures. It was called a loft. Now, to get to it, you had to ascend. Now, here's what you need to understand. You need to build environments that will cause us to go up. You need to build environments in your life that will cause us to grow up. You need to build environments in your home that will cause an ascension of your entire family. Amen? You need to build environments where we will see the glory of the Lord beginning to manifest in your home, in your family, because there is an ascension that will take place. This is what the Aliyah is about. It's about building an environment where everything causes us to grow up. Everything causes us to begin to ascend. Everything causes us to begin to rise up. So just tell your neighbor, we're going to build a staircase and we're going to rise up. We're going to build a chamber. We're going to build an environment where stuff in our life is going to go up. This is what Solomon did from his own royal house to the temple of God. He had a staircase that allowed him to go up. And that staircase meant that he could go into the house of God from his own house because he went up. Now, going up means coming up higher. Going up means growing up. Going up means that things are going to get better. And I want you to believe with your family that even as you craft the right environment, things are going to get better. Things are going to grow. Things are going to flourish. Things are going to be fruitful when you craft the right environment in your home. Now, let me give you one or two incidences about the upper room or the chamber. The chamber or the upper room. So here's what you need to think about. As the Son of God, God is giving us time to craft the right environment. This is what we must seek first to do. This is the priority. This is our endeavor. We want to see the rule, the power, and authority of God come into our homes first. And therefore, we need to build that right environment. So, when you look at a few examples in Scripture, so here's what you need to think about. How do we build an upper room environment so that we can get the right results? Because there will be certain things that will happen. We all know the story of Elijah, who raises the woman of Zarephath, her son dies, and Elijah raises the boy from the dead. This is in 1 Kings 17, verse 19 to 23. I'm not going to read it. Now, when he takes the boy into the upper room, he says, "Give me the child," and he goes, he takes the boy into the upper room. And when he goes there, he stretches himself upon the child and he starts praying for the child. And the life comes back into the child. And when he comes down from the upper room, he gives the child to his mother. And he says to his mother, "Your son lives." What's the difference? The upper room is a place where we move from a child to a son. What does that simply mean? It means that the upper room is a place of maturity. We must craft environments to outgrow childish ways. We have dealt with childish ways before. We cannot, after coming out of this crisis, let me say this to you as a father, you cannot have the same problems that you had before lockdown. That means you didn't learn anything. You would have taken sufficient time, you would have had sufficient time to say, what are the things we really need to outgrow? What are the things we need to sit down in our upper room, in our chamber, and cause God to take the child out of us and let the son arise? And you see, let me give you a secret. The upper room was also called the prophet's room because of Elisha, because of Elijah, because of Jeremiah, and many others in scriptures you will read. It was called the prophet's room. Now, what is prophecy? Prophecy is foretelling. Here's what you need to do. Craft environments that will prophesy into your own life. Craft environments where you can speak to the future by what you create. And in this room, in this room called the prophet's room, you must say, we don't want the child to live anymore. We want the son to rise. And right now, God has given you time to deal with those immature areas. How we speak to our wives. How we speak to our husbands. How we treat them. Being helpful in the home. Being courteous. Being kind. Don't worry about being kind to the beggar on the street. Start in the house. Okay? God is not impressed with all that. You got to start in the house. How do we speak to one another? How are we treating each other? Do we take each other for granted? I was reading something about John Travolta, whose son died recently. And he said, don't take for granted the time that you have with people, because they will suddenly be gone. Many people in this COVID, I know of families, entire families that have been wiped out by this virus. Don't take for granted the people that are around you, your spouse, your children, your neighbors, people that you have been seeing on a regular basis. Don't take them for granted. Ask Beryl. In a moment, a brother, 43 years old, was taken. You have to know that God has given us time to outgrow all our insecurities, our contentions, our strife. He has put you in the home. He has given you time. He has given you an upper room, a chamber. And he's saying to you, you can't carry on the way that we used to. You have to mature as the Son of God. Amen. Our time is almost up this morning. And so, if you go and study many of the upper room encounters, each one of them has a principle of what will happen if you craft the right environment. Just think about a king called Eglon, as I wind down. He was the king of Moab, and he was oppressing the nation of Israel. And he was a Midianite king, or a Moabite king. And the Moabite means what father? And Ehud, who was from the nation of Israel, came into the upper room and put the dagger into the belly of Eglon. And he died in the upper room. You see, the upper room is a place where you are no longer fatherless. The upper room is a place where you see God as your father. The upper room is a place where you recognize your identity with God as your father, and you are his son. You've got to craft that environment. It all takes place in the environment of something called an upper room. The upper room now is not a literal room that you have to build. The upper room now metaphorically designates the crafting of an environment for the Son to grow, and for the rule, the power, the authority of God's kingdom to manifest. I trust that you will take these few words that I shared with you this morning, meditate on them, think about them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the first, go and create that environment that we all need. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.